Hello there, my name's Neil David and I'm the host of Eurograps Express, the podcast exclusively dedicated to the wrestling of Europe. If it's wrestling and it happens in Europe and it's good, we talk about it. Whether it's RevPro, Progress, WXW, Passion Pro, Pro Wrestling Chaos, Pro Wrestling North, we don't care, we talk about them all. If it's good and it's exciting, I want to share it with you. We're on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Check us out on the feed. Check us out on Twitter at EurograpsEXP. And join us for chat about European wrestling and a little bit of chat about cheese. Hopefully see you there.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, we've made it to episode 100.
Episode number 100 for the number one show. We did it.
Who would believe 4 years ago? The show began the worst timing of all, probably of any podcast that was ever created, starting, I believe, the week everything shut down, and has made it here 4 years and 100 episodes later, here talking, as always, about the best of Joshi Pro Wrestling.
I mean, who knew that, like, this little China flu was going to be anything, you know?
Who would have known? But we got through it. And now we have all kinds of exciting shows to talk about. But before we do, of course, as we have done, I would say in 99 other episodes, but I know there's at least two or three episodes where I've forgotten to do this. We got a plug. We got to put in our plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So what are we going to be talking today? We're going to be talking Stardom's Cinderella Tournament, multiple nights of that. We are going to be previewing the upcoming Cinderella Tournament Finals. Almost the entirety of the Cinderella Tournament has occurred in these past 2 weeks, but the finals are coming up in a few days. We'll be talking, of course, Tokyo Joshi's Grand Princess 24 Ice Ribbon has a Korakuen Hall show coming up, and much more. So let's dive into it. Let's talk first the night one of the Cinderella tournament from Yokohama Budokan on March 9th in front of 1,555 fans. 1,555.
Wow.
Kelly, what were your thoughts on this show?
I thought it was a good show, but a weird show at the same time. Because, like, I'm really enjoying this tournament overall. I've been having a good time with it. But at the same time, it feels like not the most important thing going on, mostly because you had all in this show, you had all the tournament matches, and then here's three tags. It was very strange feeling. Like, you know, you feel like the tournament should be the most important thing, but then it's like it's over for this night, and it's like, oh wait, we still have three more matches to go. Okay. And none of them were like a title match or anything. So it felt a little odd to me. But other than that, I thought it was a really good show.
I thought most of these matches on this night in terms of the Cinderella tournament felt fairly, I mean, obviously it's in a tournament, so they all have consequence, but they all felt fairly inconsequential. And then you had a couple matches that were pretty exciting. And later down the line, which we'll talk about, there were some nights I thought that the Cinderella tournament matches were good, and then the rest of the stuff on the card sort of felt like, oh, okay. So if you could have combined this with some of the better Cinderella tournament matches, I think you could have had one really good show. But I thought most of the Cinderella tournament stuff was inoffensive for the most part.
It's all been easy watches, I've thought.
Yes. Yeah. So let's dive right into it. First with the pre-show eight-way match. I didn't watch it. I'm assuming Kelly also didn't watch it.
Nope.
And that would be Suzu Suzuki defeating Amisore, Azumi, Hazuki, Mai Sakurai, Mei Sierra, Mirai, and Wakasukiyama in that eight-way match in 7 minutes and 44 seconds. But getting into the show proper, the first match was the only title match of the evening. The Future of Stardom title match, Rina successfully defending her title, defeating Miran from Diana in 11 minutes and 26 seconds. I thought this was a fun match. Thought Miran came off looking very good, although that could just be because I've seen her comparatively less than Rina. So there were things she did that I was like, oh, this was fun. But I thought it was a good showcase for her, a good win for Rina. Kelly, what did you think of this?
I really didn't like this match. I thought they got way too ambitious. I thought there was a lot of too many kickouts and near falls for your opener. Like, I don't know. It just did not work to me and felt like they tried to do too much. It made me feel like an old man. Just wanting them to slow down and grab a hold or something. I also felt like it went way too long. So I don't know. I honestly don't think that Rina is very good. And I don't think she has the instincts to be able to kind of put together title matches like this. So I haven't been a huge fan of her Future Stardom title run. And this did not change my mind.
It was the third longest match on the show at 11 minutes and 26 seconds, just being beat out by the semi-main and the main event for match length. So it was pretty long.
Yeah, no, it felt long to me.
So, all right, split there. I didn't think it was crazy good. I probably would have gone like 3.25 or something. The cage match rating is 6.9, which is pretty close to that 3.25, 3.5. But Kelly, not a fan.
No, not a fan.
Interesting. But then we got into the Cinderella tournament proper. The first match in the first round was Starlight Kid defeating Yuzuki in 8 minutes and 21 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts?
I thought it was a pretty fun match. Nothing like super remarkable, but I enjoyed it. I went like 2.5 stars on it.
I liked it. I thought it was, a fun little match. I thought Yuzuki got a ton of offense.
Yes.
It almost felt like at times like Starlight Kid was the underdog. You know, obviously we know until the ending where, you know, she sort of like really squashed her and then did the sitting pin and you're like, oh yeah. It felt weirdly like, oh, Starlight Kid really feels like she's fighting from underneath a lot here, which I found a bit odd. I also, in the beginning, I don't know, I guess I just wasn't thinking about it, but someone went over the top and everyone was like, oh. And I was like, oh yeah, Cinderella does have over the top rope rules. For some reason, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just like, okay, here's the match. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. So that really got me. Also, Suzu Suzuki was at ringside wearing a very cool Mei Sierra shirt that I meant to check if they sell it. Cause I was like, that's a cool, it looked very sort of like that 90s throwback type shirt they do now. And I was like, oh, that's really cool.
It'd actually be kind of funny if it isn't available and Suzu just made it.
I guess I could look.
Got a repper fate, her friends just making t-shirts to support them. That's how you know you have a true friend, when they show up to your house one day wearing your face on their shirt.
But that's also, that's often, like, those shirts feel like that's, like, that style of shirt feels like they're often custom made and not, like, sold anywhere.
Or, like, you go to the state fair and there's a dude that'll airbrush that onto a shirt for you.
Yeah. Let's see, I'm looking at the store. There it is. There's May. Oh, what? Oh. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just clicked. Okay, at the top, they have all the names. I clicked May's name, and it loads four items. The items are a picture of Azumi.
Okay, signed. That checks out.
Christmas illustrations, okay. Which look like little cartoons.
All right.
An acrylic stand of Julia and a Julia sweatshirt.
I don't see the problem here.
I was like, well, not only do they not... What? This is very confusing. What?
Well, time to go to the state fair, take a picture of Maciara with you, and go to the guy and be like, hey, take this lady, make her into a masterpiece album photo for me.
What happens if I click on Julia? Let's find out. Where's Julia? Julia. Nope. What? Okay.
Did that take you to Maciara merch?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. I figured it out. I cracked the code. Okay. So it turns out that, like, the signed picture is a picture of Azumi, but if you click in, you then choose the person you want.
Ah, okay.
Okay, that makes more sense to me, because
and
I got
she
the
must
same
be
ones.
In the photo book too or something.
And then the acrylic stand is the same thing.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't look like she's an option in the acrylic stand. Okay, well, what about this? Oh, and I see they have different sweaters for people. Okay, well, that makes more sense, and explains why I was so confused. Oh, there it is. I found it. Yeah, I found it. Oh, but it's not on sale. Bummer. End of sale. Okay, well, too bad for me. Anyway, fun match. The next match was the Cinderella tournament match, first round. Sayaka Carrara defeating Natsuka Tora by disqualification in 3 minutes and 52 seconds. This I was very confused by when it first happened, because I had no idea what had gone on. Did you understand?
Yeah. Tora just beat her ass too much and got disqualified for it.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think so.
Because she hit a move and all of a sudden the bell rang and I was like, what? And I thought, oh, is it a knockout? Is it a... I guess, you know, I found Natsuka Tora attacking a rookie on the ramp felt very unsporting to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I thought this rocked.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Like, I thought this was great. I think it's cool to see Tora actually play to her character for once. We got a surprising result. Like, it wasn't a great match or anything, but I thought as an angle it worked really well, and you got a rookie into the second round. Like, so I was very happy with this. I thought this rocked.
I said on my notes it doesn't matter, is what I said. So
also true.
I think I'm largely checked out. I mean, I think I am largely checked out on Natsuka Tora, who people know. People have 99 other episodes of my thoughts on Natsuka Tora.
It's also really cool because we don't have to see her the rest of the tournament.
Well, don't worry, Kelly. There's a replacement for that who might go all the way to the end. So, you know, don't. I was going to say, don't count your chickens before they hatch, but that's not the right phrase.
I'll count all the chickens I want.
Don't. I don't know. Don't. You just don't, Kelly. The next Cinderella tournament match, Yuna Mizumori defeating Lady C in 5 minutes and 4 seconds. This was already in match three where I was saying I don't really have a ton to say about these 5 minute matches, but I thought it was a nice little win for Yuna, who really has come to stardom and has felt like she's done nothing of any note.
Yeah, no, I was happy to see her win. I think her new facebuster finisher or whatever looks like it's murder on her opponent's knees. Like, I thought it was some kind of knee breaker or something at first, and I was like, oh, it's a facebuster. Okay, there we go. All right, that makes sense. But yeah, fun match. I went 3 stars. I enjoyed it.
The next match was the return of Momo Kogo taking on Xena and losing decisively in 3 minutes and 39 seconds. A bit odd to have all this, you know, there was build up. Oh, Momo Kogo's coming back. Oh, she's going to do this. And then she just gets obliterated.
Is Momo Kogo the most featured wrestler on the roster that they just never do anything with?
I mean, it might be Fukigen Death, frankly. Although she gets title shots, so yeah. Maybe that's wrong.
Like, Momo, I feel like they trot her out there for, media and stuff. Like, she's... You always see her on posters and all that stuff, and then it's like, all right, she's never going to win, ever.
I mean, I thought this... I mean, I guess all the matches are short, but I don't know why. It felt so short. I was like, okay, here we go. I was like, oh, Xena looks good. And then the match was over.
Yeah, no, this definitely felt like a sprint to me. I thought it was fun. But yeah, no, they got it. Just got in, got out, and moved on to the next thing.
Glad Xena's back. Now Mariah May is gone. So Xena will now randomly become very, very good. Which seems to happen now. And that was Mariah May, and now she's gone. So it will be Xena.
Yep.
And before long, who knows? It may be Sky Blue who comes to Stardom. It will never be
Sky Blue. No, Sky Blue will never leave AEW because she needs to be on TV every week until Tony's the Jaguars win the Super Bowl because of the deal he made with the devil.
Yes, and the next match was a Cinderella tournament match, of course. Miyu Amasaki defeating Rana Yagami in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. You know, this tournament, a good chance to see finishers you don't usually see.
Yeah.
A lot of people winning who don't win a lot. And I was like, oh, look at this finisher. Oh, look at that finisher. Oh, this is fun. I have to say, this is my main thought. I didn't have a lot to say about the match itself, but I do sort of like this structure of the Cinderella tournament of mostly sort of mid-card and below wrestlers, because I think that's a little bit more interesting than them figuring out how to eliminate, you know, Mayu over the top rope. Five people who can't take a pin over the top rope to get them out of the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm regretting that now, depending on who makes it to the finals. But I was thinking it then. And, you know, it's exciting to see these people and seeing some people get big, you know, bigger opportunities and some sort of big wins in here. So,
and having it be mostly mid and undercard wrestlers kind of works better to the theme of the tournament, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Cinderella was not upper crust.
Well, and I think that, you know, most of the people at the top are now established. They don't really have anyone at that level.
Yeah.
That needs it in any way. So just keep them out. You've got a big enough roster, obviously, as you can see from this. But yeah, good. I don't even really remember Cinderella tournaments that much. I mean, especially the ones that used to be one day when it was like you watched 25 matches in the span of 1 hour.
Oh, those are the days.
But even like the multi-day tournaments, I'm trying to remember back and I'm like, I don't really remember. Like, things don't really stick out of previous tournaments. Obviously, the winners, I'm like, okay, Mirai won last year. You know, et cetera. You know, winners in previous years. But like matches, I'm like, I don't really think of, I'm not like, oh, remember that great Cinderella tournament match from 2021?
No. You know what my first note for this match says? Rana continues to show that she has that dog in her. And you know, it's true. I actually have a bizarre, but I think fitting comparison for Rana Yagami. Kyle O'Reilly. The way she moves and throws strikes feels a lot like him to me for whatever reason.
Kelly is a Rana head.
I am. No, I sold all of my Mariah May stock and bought in on Rana Yagami.
Well, that's an easy sell because Mariah is not in the promotion anymore.
Yeah,
so that,
I sold it all off to some AEW kids. And they're like, to the moon. And I was like, fuck yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's so funny because for like 4 years, you know, the rookies that came in were like, okay, these people are, you're sort of like, okay, they're fine, but they're rookies. And sort of like with what happened with Tokyo Joshi, all of a sudden it's like, where did you find all these people all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Like you couldn't find anyone for years. And now all of a sudden you have like five of them.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Who are all really good for, you know, being young and rookies. So that I think is just the wildest thing to me is like, oh, you did it. You found all these people. The next match, Cinderella tournament, first round match, Ruaka with Natsuka Tora defeating Koguma in 5 minutes and 16 seconds. Kelly, you said, thank God we don't have to watch any Natsuka Tora matches anymore. But I have bad news for you. Ruaka's winning. And I will say this match doing not that hot on Cage Match, 4.88 currently. I will say this, the best Ruaka match of the Cinderella tournament so far, I think. I don't know. Everyone knows I hate this interference. It annoys me. It's silly. I'm not that crazy about Ruaka. I mean, Kelly, I think has sort of come around.
I have. I want 3 stars on this match.
Oh my God. See? Your former sworn enemy.
Yeah.
Now getting 3 stars from you.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was a solid match. I thought she was a good, like, dickhead heel here, and I thought Koguma's bump on the floor looked like it sucked.
I know the interference is coming. It shows up, and my whole mind is just like, nope, it's over.
I will say I did. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here to the Ruaka match on the 16th. Because I think it was
no. Don't talk about that now because I have something to say about that.
Oh, fantastic.
Let's not get there yet because Oh boy, I was like, ay. Anyway, well, 3 stars. Kelly, you and I are growing apart here.
I did go 3.5 on the match prior. I didn't say that, the Miyu Amasaki Rana Yagami match.
All right. The next Cinderella tournament match, Saya Iida defeating Saki Kashima in 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Sort of had the same thought I had about a lot of these matches. You know, probably like a 3-star match, fun little match, good win. Good win for... Sorry, I just lost my mind. good win for Saya Iida. Sorry.
There we go.
Good win for Saya Iida. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I went 3 stars on it too. I think, and that, honestly, that's purely for the finish of Saya rolling up Saki. Like, I thought that was just a fun flip on things.
And the final Cinderella tournament match of the night, Hanan defeating Hanako in 6 minutes and 30 seconds. A nice win for Hanan. And yeah, another 3.25 match, Kelly.
3.5. I thought this kind of ruled. There was the bit when Hanako was stomping on Hanan's head to get like Uter off the apron, and I thought she was shooting. Like, she was getting her real good. And I thought both women looked really great here. And Hanan's submission finisher rocks, especially when she does, like, the Pentagon Jr. arm snap beforehand to set it up. I was very happy with this match. I don't know. I was just very generous with my star ratings on this show.
You really were. Well, not for the Future of Stardom title, but for everything.
No, any stars that would have gone to that went to the other ones.
That's right. You only have a certain, you're like, I'm going into this show, there's 10 matches, and I have, you know.
And I can't have a surplus going out of the show, or else I'll get those docked from the next one. So I got to spend them all.
Then we headed into non-tournament action. The first match, a preview match for the New Japan Strong Women's title match, which we'll be talking about in a few minutes. Julia, Konami, and Tsuri defeating Fukigen Death, Momo Watanabe, and Stephanie Vakur in 11 minutes and 19 seconds. Look, I know the answer to the question. I don't need it explained to me. But why was Fukigen Death in this match? It was so annoying to me because, like, people would get in and I'd be like, yeah, this is good. Like, Julia coming in and dropping Stephanie on her head once or twice. And then Death would be in there and I'm like, God, move on, please. God,
and then here comes literal clown shoes.
I just was like, ah, this could be so good, but it stuck with one person who's just doing their same bits they always do.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the match did its job because the best parts of the match clearly were the Julius and Stephanie bits of it. So I'm like, well, if you were trying to build hype for the singles match, that's what it did.
Yep.
But I don't know. I'm like, ah. And I understand it's because everyone, you know, everyone else in Oedo Tai was in the tournament or is a child. so it's like, of course you have to use her, but I'm like, no, just wrestle seriously and have a good match because parts of this were really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up going 3.25 on it. I thought it was fine as a whole.
The semi-main event, a special attraction match here. The duo, the visiting duo, Chihiro Hashimoto and Seri, defeating the Cosmic Angels team of Natsupoi and Sayori Ano in 18 minutes and 59 seconds. Kelly, I will let you go first.
Match of the show, for sure. I loved how this felt like just, you know, it's almost 19 minutes long. It felt like 15 minutes of this was Poi just getting ragdolled around and dropped on her head. Like, it was awesome. This is exactly what I wanted out of it, and I got it. Just good old brutal action that was like nonstop from bell to bell. Great match. 4.25 for me.
Well, Kelly, we're back in alignment. I went 4.25 as well.
Oh, thank God we're back.
I thought it was great. Just four really good wrestlers trying to knock each other out and drop each other on their heads, which I thought was great. You know, I was thinking the whole time, obviously Joshi fans know, you know, I was thinking of this more with Chihiro Hashimoto, but I'm like, someone in 20 years, Chihiro Hashimoto almost never gets talked about sort of like in the larger world of wrestling. And someone in 20 years is going to discover all her work and be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, she has so many good matches that Joshi people obviously talk about. She's well known. But, like, people outside of Joshi are not talking about her. I mean, Sari's sort of the same way. Now, yeah. She has a little bit of a benefit because she, you know, was in WWE. So people sort of, like, learned about her briefly. But there's just so much good stuff that Joshi people watch and people outside of Joshi don't really know anything about.
Hell, that Hashimoto versus Sari match from earlier this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a prime example right there.
But I just thought this one was really great. It was also my match of the show. Yeah, just really, really, really great stuff. Not really surprising that it was so good, because I went in with pretty high expectations, but definitely worth checking out. You know, even if you're not watching the show or you're just picking and choosing, definitely one not to skip. The main event was a three-way tag team match. The team, the Empress Nexus Venus team of Micah and Mina Shirakawa, defeated Mayu Iwatani and Tom Nakano and the Queen's Quest duo of Azumi and Saya Kamatani in 14 minutes and 25 seconds. I just have to say this because it's in my head and I have to get it out of my head. The Empress Nexus Venus logo looks to me like it ends with a Y, which makes me, it makes it feel to me like it's an offshoot of Bussy. Because it looks to me like Venusi. And so I'm like, Bussy, Thrussy, NX Venusi.
Well, I hope you're ready for WrestleMania weekend.
I mean, it's just very weird to me. Like, Empress Nexus Venus, very random string of words. Then they have this weird logo. It's just all very strange to me. Having nothing to do with the match, I thought the match was really great. They really went, 14 minutes, 25 seconds. It was very fast paced. I had a lot of fun. I went 4 stars. I thought it was super fun. You know, not a super important match, but really good and a good cap to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went 3 3/4, so I was close to you. My prediction at the end of this match was they booked this match purely so they could have the footage of Azumi getting pinned by Micah when they set up the match after Azumi wins the Cinderella tournament.
Mm. Well, I think they also set it up because then Sari came out and challenged Mayu, a match that was supposed to happen 4 years, a match that was supposed to happen before this podcast began.
That's right.
That, February of 2020, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that was the first night of the Cinderella tournament, but there have been 3 other nights. The next night was the very next night on March 10th in Corican Hall. The results for that show, Mei Sierra defeated Saida. Ami Sore defeated Yuna Mizumori, Hanan defeated Mirai, and Starlight Kid defeated Suzu Suzuki. I have to say, those top 2 matches really are, as of this point, my matches of the tournament, because I thought they were by far the best 2 matches that have happened.
Yeah, I've got Hanan Mirai at 4 stars and Starlight Kid Suzu at 3 3/4. I fucking loved that Hanan Mirai match.
Yeah, I went 4 on both. I thought they were really good. The only thing, having almost nothing to do with the match itself, that detracted was when I watched the match on Stardom World, right at the end, like the second to last pin, when Hanan went to get a pin and Mirai kicked out, the Stardom World said, no more. no more of this. The screen paused. Nothing happened. So I refreshed. It went back a couple seconds, started playing, and then I got a message that said, this file is corrupted.
Yep, I get that every now and then from Stardom World.
And I was like, oh, I guess I'm never going to see the end of this match, and refreshed like four more times and then finally saw the final like 35 seconds of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no,
I was
sometimes
like, boy, I was really, like, yeah. And then it was like corrupted and I was like, okay, let me get this solved, you know.
Yeah, whatever. No, I like jumped out of my seat when Hanan won. That was great. That match was so cool. And it was like, it was one of those where it's like, oh, hey, anything can happen in this tournament. Cause it's like Mirai was one of the front runners to win just because of her past success. If you're just looking like, oh, if they just go chalk with it. So it's like, I feel like this might be the beginning of something big for Hanan. Like if she wins this tournament now, I would not be shocked.
Yeah. I agree. Very interesting to see, you know, with possible defections coming up at any time. Some of these results, it's been interesting to be like, what does this really mean? And maybe it means Hanan is sticking around and they're going to really push her, which would be fun because I really like Hanan. I think she's very good. Also on this show was the New Japan Strong women's title match. Stephanie Vaquer defeating Julia in 11 minutes and 3 seconds. This was a match I thought had some good parts to it, but it felt like it ended very abruptly and never really sort of got to the next level that I would expect from a Korakuen main event and also a, you know, title match.
Yeah.
Kelly, did you watched it?
Yes, it was a bummer to see the finish kind of just be a flash pin. Like, I don't know. It was fine. It's one of those where it's like, we've been waiting for like what feels like a month and a half plus for Julia to finally drop this belt, and here it was. And it was like, oh, that didn't really feel satisfying at all.
Yeah, but so these really, if you had, now there was only four of them, but if you had sort of put these four Cinderella tournament matches with the top half of the March 9th show, that would have been a really strong show.
Yeah.
But it's different. You have more time because there's only four matches instead of a billion.
Mm-hmm.
But then the tournament continued this weekend on March 16th. Four more matches. Azumi defeating Sayaka Karara. Miyu Amasaki defeating Mai Sakurai, Xena defeating Waka Tsukiyama, and Ruaka defeating Hazuki. Kelly, let's get into this Ruaka Hazuki match. Okay. It was over the top rope. I know what they were going for. They were going for Ruaka knocks Hazuki out.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Ruaka goes to do the body block. And in doing the body block, goes through the ropes and clearly, without any doubt, hits the floor first.
Well, but she went through the... She didn't go over the top, though.
Oh, that is true. That is true. She didn't go over the top.
Yeah, so she was fine.
I was just like, oh, they're both tumbling to the floor. That is... You are correct about that. She didn't go over the top rope. But it was just a very strange visual of like person lands on the floor. And I was like, wait a minute, but you're right. She didn't go over the top. So there you go. What was your thing about this match?
My thing about the match was when Tora just chucked the suitcase at Hazuki to break up the pin. And the ref acted like it was just a kick out. And then he kind of turns and sees the suitcase. He's like, hey, wait a minute. What's this? It's like, how did you not notice that right away? It almost hit you.
That folds into the following night, which was March 17th. Four more matches. Ruaka defeating Xena, Azumi defeating Miyu Amasaki, Amisore defeating Mei Sierra, and Hanan defeating Starlight Kid. Ruaka, okay. The ref, your favorite ref, Kelly.
My guy, Daichi?
Gets knocked out.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Five stars.
Here comes Oedo Tai. Oh, they're running around. They're hitting her. Momo Watanabe is in the ring. She grabs Xena. She puts her in a peach sunrise. While she's in the peach sunrise, Daichi looks up. He's like, oh, I'm so groggy. Looks up directly at Momo. Watches her hit the peach sunrise. Momo rolls out, and then Daichi's like, okay, I'm back fully alive now, even though I've been staring at the interference for like 20 seconds. Then Ruaka hits a move and wins. But I was just like, come on. Like, just put your head down for 15 more seconds.
Yeah.
It was very annoying to me.
There is nothing I want more than for Rossi to take Daichi with him.
Yeah, but then he's going to be in the other... it's six of one, half dozen of the other.
It'll just help my enjoyment of Stardom so much more.
Other than those
Daichi
two things,
can go ruin Rossi dumb all he wants.
They'll probably run less shows, so maybe that will be better.
Yeah, and who at this point, who even knows if we'll be able to see it? I could see Rossi just being like, "Yep, not taped."
Other than that, these matches, I didn't have much to say about any of them. I thought they were mostly fine. They felt a little bit house show-like. I mean, they were sort of in house show buildings. But yeah, Kelly, any other thoughts about some of these other Cinderella tournament matches?
No, I do need to. I haven't seen the 17th yet, so I need to watch that. But yeah, overall, I've been enjoying the tournament. I think it's a very easy watch and just kind of a fun tournament. It's been nice not having the main eventers in here.
Yeah, and I think the fact that it's almost already over, it's like, oh, it just started and now it's ending. Like, I don't mind that.
Super nice, especially with how Stardom tournaments have been in the past like year or so, where it feels like they're just a decade long each.
So that was all of Stardom. What else has been going on in Joshi? In Seedling, new tag champions, Makoto and Nagisa Nozaki defeating Maya Yukihi and Veni at the most recent Seedling show. It was also announced that Arisa Nakajima will be returning on April 21st. So glad to hear that just over a month from now. What else is going on? Tokyo Joshi is gearing up for Grand Princess 24. There was a video, Kelly, I don't know if you saw it, but Maki Ito cutting a promo on Minoru Suzuki and then choking out Shino Suzuki of no relation to Minoru Suzuki. But cut a promo on him and then choked her out. I thought was very funny. Sendai Girls, there are new tag champions in Sendai Girls yet again. Manami and Ryo Mizunami defeating Dash Chizako and Hiroyo Matsumoto to become the tag champions there. And not the only new tag champions in Diana on March 10th. Ayako Sato and Hanako Nakamori defeating Double Inoue, Kyoko Inoue, and Takako Inoue to become the tag champions there. So that is what has been going on. So before we talk about what's coming next, let's hop into the Joshi Fantasy League standings. Some big movement here. Kelly, unfortunately,
no.
Now in last place.
No, I refuse.
Now in last place. I will say, Kelly, that you gained 7 points in the last 2 weeks, but unfortunately I found a clerical error.
No,
I had given you 4 extra points.
No.
So you are now down at 103 points. So you only actually gained 3 points in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, this is horrible.
very low, no action. You know, Utami, very quiet, not a lot of Takumi stuff. Could have had a big title win with Venny with the tag titles, but that did not happen. So now I think you're really banking on WrestleMania weekend for Rena to get some big wins there. Now in second place, 12 points ahead, is Liam at 115 points there, and still in first place with 141 points is me, this guy.
Oh, you're running away with it.
Who still has the highest scoring wrestler, and I believe now the, I have the second lowest scoring wrestler and the highest scoring wrestler, AOE. Liam has still the lowest with only 6 points. Might see a trade there. Kelly, I think we may need to look into now. I have some future. I'm looking towards the future a little bit. We'll be talking about this in a second. But Miyu Watanabe has only gotten me 11 points so far this year. If she doesn't win the Princess of Princess title, I might have to think about shipping her off at the midway point, because 11 points, my next closest wrestler, Saya Kamatani, at 21. And Kelly?
Yeah.
Same with you, Tokyo Joshi Miyu. If she loses the title, maybe you will think about shipping her off. She only has 16 points, although close to Takumi Aroha, who only has 18. Kelly does not have a lot of high-scoring wrestlers.
I gotta start doing some research. I gotta moneyball this. I gotta look for some some freelance wrestler that's just going around winning like Dotonbori Pro matches or something.
I mean, some of those are in. You know, I'm like you. You gets me a lot of points. 49 points currently.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
From you. The next closest is Liam. Unagi Sayaka has 38 points. So it will be interesting. I think WrestleMania weekend, you know, Tokyo Joshi action multiple times on WrestleMania weekend. Some Stardom action. Also happening, which we'll be talking about in 2 weeks' time. But a lot can happen, but that may be the, you know, WrestleMania weekend. Kelly, if you come out of it still in last, you may need to do some soul searching.
Gonna have to do some, yeah. Well, because especially Mania weekend won't be as big no matter what for me, because I was expecting Vanny to be over there.
That is true, but you do have Rena, who is going to probably pop up a lot of places.
Yeah, she's going to work every GCW show.
And is also already, you know, 26 points, has the most points of any of your people, so you should hope.
What,
and also,
how many points do I get if she wins the clusterfuck?
One.
Damn it.
Yeah, multi-person matches. Oh, I will say this. And I'm willing to be litigated on this. In the past 2 weeks, Tokyo Joshi, I think it was Miyu and Rika, I think, were in a handicap match to the two of them versus two of the up girls and Palm Harajuku. Does that count as a tag match or a multi-person match?
I would say that's a tag match.
Okay, that's what I said, but you know, for purposes of fair sporting,
yeah,
I thought I would bring it up.
It's a handicap tag match, but it is a tag match nonetheless.
I thought if they won and they were on the side of three, it would be, you know, if it was three versus two and the three side won, then I would count it as multi-person because you're on a winning team with three people.
Yeah. I would have counted that as a tag match.
All right. Fair enough.
In case we have a situation where it's the entire Tokyo Joshi roster versus Miyu and someone like the old the entire Raw roster versus John Cena and Randy Orton.
Well, when I end up beating you by 1 point, remember this moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing it down in my journal.
All right. So what is coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, we have this Cinderella tournament finals show on March 20th. We have the card for that is going to open an 8-person tag team match. Mina Shirakawa, Waka Tsukiyama, Zena, and Hanako of Enexus V versus Shuri, Mirai, Saki Kashima, and Rana Yagami of God's Eye. That the opening match. Kelly, pick a side. Who wins?
God's Eye.
I still think you got to get Enexus V some victories here. So I'll go with them just to be different. The next match is a 10-person tag team match. Sayori Ano, Natsupoi, Yuna Mizumori, Aya Sakura, Sayaka. Wow. Saying those back-to-back is tricky. Versus Natsuka Tora, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, Rina, and Fukigen Death. Kelly, who wins that one?
Who pins who?
I'll make it even more
interesting. Okay, there we go. I'm going to say Natsuka Tora pins one of the rookies on the other side.
I'm going to say Natsupoi pins Rina. Just for fun.
All right.
Then next, we have a three-way, three-person tag battle in Saya Kamatani, Lady C, and Miyu Amasaki against Hazuki Koguma and Saya Ida against Mei Sierra, Suzu Suzuki, and Mai Sakurai. Kelly, I'm going to say that Suzu Suzuki pins Lady C.
Damn, that's what I was going to say. Because I do think it's the unaffiliated team that wins. And it makes most sense for... Okay, I'll go Suzu pins Miyu Amasaki.
All right. Just a little different than me.
Yeah.
Then next, we have a singles match. Mayu Iwatani will take on Yuzuki. I don't think there's any question who will win that match.
Unless Sari does a run-in and headbutts Mayu while she's like got her head outside the ring.
Then a special singles match, 15-minute time limit. Kelly's favorite, Tom Nakano, will take on Julia. So we think Tom's winning this, right?
One final disgrace for Julia from Tom Nakano here.
Finally put her in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And then we have the two Cinderella tournament semi-final matches. Ami Sorei will take on Azumi, and Hanan will take on Ruaka. Kelly, what is the finals, and who wins the final?
The finals are Azumi versus Hanan. And I think I'm going Azumi wins. Hanan making it to the finals is a big enough push for her for now. And like I said, with the main event of the previous big show where it was Micah pinning Azumi, I feel like they're going to use that in a promo package to set up a title match.
Well, I was going to say Azumi and Hanan, so I'll change to say Azumi and Ruaka.
No, don't do that. don't speak that into the world.
With Azumi winning, I can't go that far. But yes. And then the show, they will have, of course, then the championship match afterwards. And then the World of Stardom title will be on the line. The champion, Micah of Enexus V, will defend against Utami in the main event. Kelly, does Micah retain?
Yes. Just because of the Azumi thing. That's, I think that. I would prefer Utami wins, so I get points in the Fantasy League. But I don't think that's happening here.
Kelly is all in on this video package.
I am. Like, I can see it, and I'm like, damn.
He sees it in his mind's eye.
Yeah.
It happening. Well, I'll be different and just say Utami wins just to be different. I don't know. Do we think Utami wins? It's always a possibility.
It yeah, never rule out Utami winning.
So that is the Cinderella Tournament Finals show. What else is going on? Well, Tokyo Joshi has their big Grand Princess 24 show, one of their biggest shows of the year, happening on March 31st. Before, or maybe not before, maybe during the show. I don't know when it's going to happen, but non-wrestling related action. There will be a performance by SKE 48, including Yuki Arai, performing alongside them. So that will be a special attraction for the show. We'll see if the SKE 48 fans show up.
Get out your light sticks.
And do your chants.
Yep.
And then the first match of the show, Shino Suzuki, Chika Nanase, and Kira Summer versus Harukazu Shiro, Runa Okuba, and Uda Takami. Quite a match here. The very young wrestlers in Tokyo Joshi being left with even younger wrestlers.
The kids now have to take care of their siblings when the parents go to work.
Who is the most, who has more matches, Shino or Haru?
That's got to be close. I would guess Shino.
Shino Suzuki has Shino Suzuki has a total match count of 65 matches versus Haru has, any guesses?
He's 50, probably
58.
Okay, I was going to say she's probably like right around 60.
So Shino Suzuki, the most experienced person in this match. I think if you go side by side, it's like 68 matches versus something like, well, Runa has a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, she just has less than Haru because she went away for a little bit.
Runa has probably what, 20? 42. Okay.
Damn.
So they crossed the 100. They have over 100 matches under their belt, like 104. So less than 200 matches combined between the two teams.
That's crazy.
A lot of trust. Who do you think wins? Who gets the pin?
I think Shino pins Uda.
I think Haru pins Chika.
All right.
The next match, the soon to be retiring, it was just announced in the last 2 weeks, will be graduating and retiring in July. Now Kakuda.
Oh, will, man.
Yeah, sad to hear. The tag title reign, unfortunately, waylaid by some behind the scenes issues. But here she will be tagging with former AKB 48 member Ami Yamoto to take on Mihiro Kiryu and Himawari. Another match, this one, the one quote-unquote rookie, well, a true rookie here, debuting in a little bit bigger spot. Kelly, are you looking forward to this one to see yet another young Tokyo Joshi wrestler?
Yeah, I assume the rookie takes the pin here.
I would assume. I would think it would be, well, I think Mahiro's gonna pin.
Yeah, Ami, for sure. She'll apologize to all the fans while she does.
Yeah, all the AKB48 fans.
Yeah.
The next match we'll see Kayatora Bami, seconded by Haruna Neko, teaming with Andreza Giant Panda to take on Raku and Palm Harajuku. Kelly, what is there really to say about this match?
It's shocking that this is not a match with Hyper Misao.
Yeah. We'll have to see how Raku and Palm, who are both very small, even on this small roster, take on the giant panda, who hasn't been in Tokyo Joshi in a little bit.
I feel like it's been a while since we saw him.
The next match, a tag match, one of the final times, maybe the final time, tagging together. Moka Miyamoto and Jiria Nagano teaming to take on Wakana Uehara and Toga in a tag team match. Kelly Do, Wakana, and Toga get the upset here on this soon-to-be defunct tag team.
They probably should. Like, I would probably have Wakana pin Jiria.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I don't know if they'll do it, but wouldn't be bad, as Jiria is, like, now heading away, saying farewell. So we will see some spots opening up, though. Jiria is sort of a little bit farther down the card, but now has been a solid mid-carder, so there's definitely a spot for someone.
Now retiring really makes me want to think that Hikari's never coming back. Like, I know I said that last episode, but now it's like, I don't know. I don't think she's coming back.
I mean, I don't know. She is also on the older side of being a Joshi wrestler. I think when she switched to Tokyo Joshi, she did say she wanted Tokyo Joshi to be the last company she worked for. And so she may just be like, well, you know, I lost the tag titles. It's probably going to be a while to work myself up in the singles division. So I'm good. I don't know. I hope that Hikari comes back. I really do hope that Hikari.
I mean, I do too, but I'm not expecting it anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to be. Just sort of live your life. And if she comes back, then that's great. And if she doesn't, then that's sad. And life is sad.
No more death matches.
The next match is a singles match. Rika Tatsumi will take on the returning Masha Slamovich. This match should be really fun. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, no, this one definitely could be like a sleeper, potential like best match of the show candidate.
Yeah, I very much agree. Super exciting match. Rika, I think, is underrated as a singles wrestler, and Masha's great. And I'm glad to see that they are bringing her back. And hopefully that means she will sort of be in the regular rotation. You know, at least for these bigger shows when they need maybe some names, you know, I like Masha over some of the other names that they could possibly, you know, bring back.
Oh, for sure.
The next match, talk about a size difference. Aja Kong and Max the Impaler will take on Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Misao.
Hell yeah. This should be awesome.
Does the Dream Cycle survive this match?
That I don't know. I was going to say, I thought you meant make an appearance, and I was like, yes, absolutely. Does it survive? I don't know about that one.
Is Max going to rip the bike in half?
That is entirely possible.
I can only imagine what will happen in this match. Do the kaiju come out?
I think that is a strong possibility as well. I think Nakajima and Misao are going to need to throw everything they have at these two.
Kelly, also to go completely off topic, did you see Godzilla winning the Oscar and all the people coming up with their Godzilla kaiju?
I did. It made me smile. It was just like, you know, that's what I would do. I would take my best friend Godzilla with me to go win an award.
It made me think of you. I thought, oh, Kelly. But yeah, should be, you know, a classic Hyper Misao Big Show match.
Yeah.
Next, another special singles match, a GCW special. It isn't officially called that, but it will be Maki Ito taking on Minoru Suzuki. Kelly, what do you think about this one?
This should be fun. Like, it's not going to be like really any good, but I think it'll be fun.
I do wish, you know, I think it's a good card. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for a lot of matches. I do wish, you know, between having Andre's a Giant Panda, the Hyper Masao match, and this, I'm like, I wish we could have gotten one more, quote unquote, more serious match.
But at the same time, I could see Aja Kong, you know, the tag match being played serious.
Oh, I don't see. You see that being played seriously?
I think it could be. Like, what if we get the Nakajima and Misao from the tag tournament final from like from last year, you know?
I guess that's true, yeah.
Like, I could see them getting the comedy beat out of them really quickly and then it turning into a serious match.
I guess if that's the case, then yeah, that could be. But I don't even know. I'm like, oh, I wish there was one more serious match, but I'm like, who would even, I don't even know who that, what that match would be.
Yeah.
You know, I think the other thing is Maki feels very disconnected from Tokyo Joshi at this moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like Minoru Suzuki is a special guest and Maki Ito is a special guest.
It really does. Yeah.
So, we'll see, but it should be fun. You know, I like the other GCW, you know, when they had Rena come in. I thought that one was a lot of fun. So maybe I'll be wrong and it will be great. Maybe it'll be the match of the night.
Maybe. Who knows?
Then, speaking of returning to Tokyo Joshi, Yuka Sakazaki, AEW's own. Turn on the TV and watch her. In AEW all the time. Yuka Sakazaki returning and is teaming with Mizuki. Mizuki wanted to team with her and was told that the card wasn't determined, but is teaming with her. The Magical Sugar Rabbits back again for at least one more night to take on a very interesting team of Emi Sakura and Chris Brooks. Chris Brooks stepping out from behind the commentary table to wrestle in Tokyo Joshi. Kelly, I know that you were and are excited for this one.
I am so hyped for this match. This should be awesome. This really could be the match of the night, I think.
How many rotations is Mizuki going to get on the whirling candy when she hits it on Chris Brooks? She's going to go 15 feet into the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this should be great. Emmy's great. Chris is great. And of course, the Magical Sugar Rabbits, I think, the best tag team in Tokyo Joshi history. And good to see Yuka back. I mean, I think the concern was when she didn't wrestle in AEW that she was injured in some way. But it doesn't seem that way if she's coming back and wrestling. But hopefully this is a sign that she will start wrestling somewhere more regularly very soon.
That would be nice. Maybe she'll fly back with Emmy or something.
And then we get to the business end of the card. Three title matches. The first, the International Princess title. Yuki Arai, the champion, will face off against Yuki Kamifuku. Kelly, will Yuki Arai use the power of an SKE 48 performance to retain her title?
Yeah. You know, she should probably like perform her way out. You know, do it as the entrance. That makes the most sense.
That's true. Yeah.
And hopefully she doesn't get gassed.
I mean, I think she's been doing it for a long time. I would hope she's not gassing herself after one song. I mean, she's been a wrestler for a little bit and performing with SKE 48 for longer than that. That would be funny, you know. Let me perform. Okay, now I need 5 minutes to recover from my singing. The next match, the Princess Tag Team titles, the champions Ryo Mizunami and Yuki Aino will defend against the winners of the Max Heart Tournament, Suzume and Arisa Endo Daisy Monkey. Kelly, the first of two big questions. Do Daisy Monkey become tag champions here?
I think so. Yeah, especially they won the tournament. And it makes sense to put him over here. And, it's, you know, Mizunami isn't a full-time roster member. She's a freelancer. So it's like it makes sense to have them drop the belts here to Suzume and Endo. So I'm going with Daisy Monkey wins.
I don't know. I'm very torn. My first hypothesis is that the challenger doesn't win both of the next two matches. I think only one wins.
Okay.
But then the question is, which one? And I don't know. I am going to say I don't think Daisy Monkey is going to win.
Okay. I can see that.
There is something about the fact, you know, they had the title shot on 1-4, which got derailed when the titles were vacated. They didn't win then. They go into the tournament and they win. Was that the original plan for them to lose that match and then win the tournament, the Max Heart tournament, and then win here? I don't know. But I also feel like with Tokyo Joshi, it's always better to err on the side of the veteran champion than the young challenger.
Very true.
And speaking of the main event, the Princess of Princess title match, the champion Miyu Yamashita will defend against Miyu Watanabe. Kelly, for this one, I am going to say Miyu Watanabe wins. I'm not at all confident in that, but I want it to happen, so I'm going to put out in the universe that it is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to speak it into existence that Miyu Watanabe wins here.
So we will have to see, but that will be should be a great show, and we will have a review of it on the next episode. But also happening, Ice Ribbon has a Corican Hall show coming up on March 23rd. The card is as follows. Yuko Sakurai and Arisa Shinose will face off against Yuri and Saran. Ancham will take on Yappy, Yoshiko Hasegawa, Yu Hanaya, and Nanai Furukawa will take on Mayuka Koiki, Asuka Fujitaki, and Yuki Manami. There will be a new Triangle Ribbon champion as Makoto will face off against Yuki Mashiro and Kahu Matsushita. The tag titles will be defended as Kyuri and Mifu Ishida will defend against Yuna Manase and Totoro Satsuki. And in the main event, the Ice Infinity title, Ibuki Hoshi will defend her title against Hamako Hoshi, the winner of the recent Ice Ribbon tournament. So that should be a good show. Kelly, what else do you have coming up in the world of Joshi?
Tomorrow, as we record this, which now that I think about it, will probably have already happened by the time you listen to this, on the 18th, there's a prominence show. That match has a rematch between Risa Sarah and Chris Brooks. This is the rematch after their last match was called off after Risa Sarah was injured. Luckily, she is good to go now, and so they're going to have their full match. So I'm excited to watch that.
So that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks. As I said, we'll be talking the Cinderella Tournament Finals. We'll be talking Grand Princess next time. And on the next episode, we will be doing a preview of all the Joshi action happening on WrestleMania weekend. We've got a Stardom show. We've got a handful of Tokyo Joshi shows. But we've also got some Joshi action throughout the weekend. So we'll be talking and previewing all of that. But now, as we reach the end of the episode, I, of course, throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
My corner this week, we're going to... Taylor, have you watched Shogun on FX or Hulu?
I haven't, although I have it recorded and I have not started it yet.
It is very good. I had enough people tell me I should watch it, and I did, and it rocks. I can't remember the last time I watched like a regular TV show as it was coming out. And it's fucking awesome. Though there is the moment in like, cause you know, it's Shogun. You want to see the Warring States Japan era stuff. And the show opens with 5 minutes of white people on a boat. And you're kind of like, I don't know about this, but then it turns out to be pretty good. So I'm very excited to watch the rest of the series. I'm not sure how many episodes there are in total, but it has been a great ride so far. So highly recommended.
Yeah, I saw a commercial for it during the Super Bowl, and I had never even heard of it. So I have recorded it, but have been quite busy over the last 2 weeks, so haven't gotten it yet. But they are waiting there, and I will be starting that soon because I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely worth the time.
So that is Kelly's Corner. Before we go, I have to say once again, this was show 100. So I have to thank everyone who has listened to any of the last 99 episodes and this episode of the show. Very appreciative of all of you, the feedback, the discussion that we have. You know, as we sort of joked about at the beginning of the show launched at a time when there really was no wrestling going on. And there were some weeks in the beginning where it seemed like we didn't even really have anything to talk about because nothing was going on. And felt a little like, oh my God, how are we going to keep the show going? But it has kept going, and now the shows are back. And I'm very happy and proud to have done this show for 100 episodes. And I also have to say thank you to Kelly. As longtime listeners know, this show started with me and Aaron Bentley, who unfortunately had to leave. At that point in the show's life, I was debating just ending it, not knowing sort of what to do. Asked Kelly sort of on a whim if he wanted to do it. He said yes, and has been great in doing it ever since. So Kelly, thank you for joining me, and I hope we have another 100 episodes.
Yes.
In us and more.
Thank you for asking me to do this. It's been fun. And also thank you for taking care of like editing and stuff, which is a skill I used to be good at, but now I look at these things after not doing it for years and I'm like, fucking, I don't know what any of this shit in Audacity does anymore.
As people will know who listen, my editing is usually very light. I have a very light touch. I think there's only maybe less than 10 episodes that I've needed to go in and actually do detailed editing on, which mostly involved the crashing of wherever we're recording. mostly. So that is what I wanted to say before episode 100 ended, but we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time for episode 101. Until then, enjoy Joshi, and we will talk to you then.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.